I mean, everybody sees them at the pro day. They don't do it individually. So, no, it wasn't a one-on-one. It was a full pro day.
Thank you.
Big D tackle in the middle. And when you look at a guy like Bo Allen, who was still on the board at this point, were you surprised a guy with that kind of girth size was still on the board?
We were kind of holding our breath after we made our last pick, because it was such a long time till the next one. But, you know, it really depends. He's a true nose tackle. So, you know, really now you limit yourself to, it's got to be 3-4 teams, I think, taking Bo. But I think he fits. He was taught in the same style that we teach. He's got a good understanding of 3-4 defense. So it was close. There was another young man we really liked from Connecticut who went like two picks before. So we were concerned. The kid from Tennessee went just before that. It looked like there was a run going on at that point in time. So kind of had our holding our breath, because he was the guy we were targeting, and hopefully we could get him. And fortunate enough that we did get him.
I know you go based on the board, but this was an all-defense day. Was that a priority coming in to add more to the defense?
No, it's just kind of how it fell. You know, I don't think it's – I mean, I don't even know how many running backs were taken overall in the draft. So I don't think it's – I think it was really strong at the – from a draft standpoint at the wide receiver spot. I don't think it was overly strong at the quarterback spot. I don't think it was overly strong at the running back spot. You know, so it's just kind of – that's how our board – you know, even when we started on Thursday, when you looked at it, there was more defensive guys that we had graded, you know, as draftable guys than we had offensive guys, and that's kind of how it fell. So,
he played in a 4-3 early in his career, I guess, most of his career.
Mm-hmm.
How did that transition go for him? And I mean, was it a pretty natural thing for him to move?
It went well. You know, we actually we played against Bo when I was at Oregon in the Rose Bowl. So, but he transitioned. I think his natural position is nose tackle, and I think when Gary Anderson got there and transitioned to that, I think he really started to shine. So,
because you take best available player and you project down the road, I mean, and as you said, you went in knowing quarterback, running back, not good. I mean, did you see this as a chance to really start to as your second, rebuild this defense around, you know, what you like, your model?
Because the guys we had on defense could have been picked too, so. You know, it pans itself out. And I think the best way I can say, and I know sometimes people go, well, you never really do it. We did it last year with Matt Barkley. Like, that wasn't what we were looking at, but we kept staring at it. Here's a guy we have ranked as a top 50 player, and all of a sudden we get to whatever our pick was, 90-something on the third day, and he's still there, so we went with him. So it seemed to fall that way. We felt like probably it was going to, not by our design, but just because of how this draft class kind of shaped up. In our minds, I think there were more defensive players in it than offensive players. Now, that's just how we saw it here in Philly. I don't know how anybody else saw it, but that's how that we saw it. So,
how many guys like Matt Barkley in this draft kind of
jumped out? There wasn't a situation like that. It was pretty kind of, I think it fell similar to how we thought it was going to fall for most of them. There wasn't anything. I actually kind of looked at, I thought about it, you know, when because it happened the year before. I'm looking over at the top 50 going, you know, is there that one guy hanging there? And it didn't happen that way. So,
is this a case to this draft of having a lot of needs, and you know, you could take a best player and still available and still hit a need? Or
I think we had needs at every position though, so I think it's always going to be, you know, really how we look at it. But obviously, I guess the dilemma, if there's a tie, then we're always going to go to the position where we have, you know, a spot open, so to speak. So,
what was your impression of the inside linebacker group of this draft?
I thought it was a big drop after C.J. Mosley. You know, so we had C.J. rated really, really high, and then after that, we thought it tailed off after C.J. So,
last year when you started this with the defense, you were saying how, you know, it's going to take a while to get all the pieces in place for this 3-4. And if you had to put a number on it now, I mean, how much closer are you to that?
I can't put a number. I think we're always working towards it. I don't know exactly. I know where we started. I know where we're, what we ultimately want to be, but I can't put a number. I don't know how to quantify it, so I don't know what number to put on it. But, you know, we're closer than we were a year ago. I know that.
Last year, I remember you said that Benny Logan and Matt Barkley really blew you away during the interview process. Were there a couple of guys this year who you would say stood out in that respect?
Yeah, Jordan was like that. Ed Reynolds was like that, you know, from a football standpoint. Jalen Watkins was like that. You know, those are a couple that we ended up selecting. You know, there were a few other guys that we didn't get that were kind of like that. I think there was a lot of quality people in this draft. It was a interesting draft from that standpoint. I remember we just kept remarking when you meet a kid and we brought him in, whether we drafted him or didn't get him, you're like, wow, that kid's a really good kid. You know, he'd be a real good fit. I think there were a lot of guys like that. So,
how's it feel about your draft right now?
I honestly have no idea. Because it's literally.
Drafting doesn't feel.
I know that, and that's. But it's not. If they're saying that, they can't. You know, it's everybody says that. They do it in college after signing day. We had a great signing day. Everybody after the draft, we got everybody we wanted. We had a great draft. No one knows. 3-4 years down the road, we're going to be, hey, that guy turned out to be a good player. There's going to be somebody that surprises everybody, us included, that will be like, I didn't know that guy was going to be that good. You know, it's an inexact science, and if someone thinks they have a formula or a metric that can get you there, I haven't seen it yet. But I think, you know, we feel comfortable with the direction we're going and the guys we brought in here. But I'm not a prediction guy, nor can I say, because I don't know. I don't think anybody can, you know.
What about for your overall vision of the team? How closer are you to getting to that in terms of turning the roster over?
I don't think we'll ever be there. That's the way I think. I mean, we're always trying to get better every single day, and, you know, that's the constant strive that we're all looking for. So I don't think there's never going to be a day when you just kind of wake up, ha-ha, we arrived, we got it. And I think if that day comes, you're going to get run over, you know. So it's not like that. I think we're always trying to tweak it. We're always trying to look for a way to do it. And obviously the commodity is as you add people, and what type of people are you adding, and what type of skills do they have in terms of being able to execute what you want to execute. So
just about all your picks during the draft, like, came from, you know, the major conferences and stuff. I mean, is there something to that? I mean, is it the level of competition, you know, that you guys look for?
There is something to it, but it's not a hard and fast rule. So it's not like we say, hey, we're not going to look at a guy from a small school. You know, it's just when you end up selecting, you just kind of look at it, and that's the way it is. I know from a standpoint it's easier to evaluate because it's apples to apples, not apples to oranges, you know, in terms of who did he play against? Well, how did he fare against this competition? And you can tell you're not projecting a guy that was playing against maybe a lower level competition and saying, how is he going to, you know, what's it going to be like when he makes the jump to the National Football League? So I think it's not by design, but I know from an evaluation standpoint, it's a lot easier for us to evaluate it from that way. So,
Chip, can you speak to the preparation, the detail in preparation, then many months ago, all this, and then coming together through the weekend, and how it was executed from the whole group upstairs, and how everything worked together?
Yeah, I mean, I think we got a pretty clean process in terms of how it works. I think it's well thought out. It's very structured in terms of when we have to have X done, when we have to have Y done, how we continue to move in the right direction. And then so that when you get to the draft itself, and for some reason because they moved it, it seemed like the draft was forever, you know, in just terms of getting ready for it. But when it comes, then it's really a pretty orderly fashion. That's why, you know, I was kind of amazed that someone would actually want to write a movie about it, because it's not that dramatic, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? It doesn't take it. You just look at a board and just go, okay, what number are we? We pick, okay, that guy's the highest. Let's take him. You know, there's not a lot of – it's not what – I haven't seen – I mean, it's not what I think some people think it is.
What are you like during the 3 days? I mean, are you bored? There's a lot of sitting around and waiting?
Or yeah, I'm on the move a lot. So the good thing is we don't always – we kind of get back to the room when we're getting close, but everybody's kind of walking around the hallways up there, so –
In last year's draft, you had exposure to some of the guys, as high school guys. In this year's draft, aside from the two Oregon players, did you recruit any of them?
I think we recruited Bo. I think Coach Az talked to him. Jalen, no. Ed, no. No. Marcus was a quarterback coming out of Georgia, no. And Jordan, no.
Is there a theme you can identify? You mentioned football IQ earlier. Is there a common thread at all? I mean, I know you just picked guys, but do you see something like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's obviously a lot of – there's the tangibles and the intangibles. That there's a certain kind of height, weight, speed requirements we have for each individual position. We really don't want to go below that, but we always will make an exception. It's kind of like a guideline more than a rule. It's not a hard and fast. There's absolutely no way. You know, we want to be bigger at the receiver position, but you would be crazy if you looked at Brandon Cooks and say, we're not going to take him because he's 5'9". You know what I mean? He's also a rocked up 190-some-odd pounds and a physical player. So, but you want to have certain – we have certain height and weight criteria that we're looking for, and certain arm lengths we're looking for and hand size we're looking for when it comes to certain positions. And then obviously, where's their football intelligence? And then, you know, what's that character kind of component in terms of what their work ethic's going to be? Can you count on them every day? Are they reliable? All those other things. So I don't know if there's a lot that kind of goes into it. And then you go. And then you hope that the ones you got, and you know, you'll figure out a year or two from now if it was a good one or a bad one. So
taking Cooks if he fell to you.
What's that?
So you would have taken Cooks if he fell to you?
I would have taken a lot of guys if they fell to us, so. But they didn't. Would we have taken him? I don't know. I mean, we would have been a legitimate conversation because that kid's going to be a really good football player in this league.
The guy you signed last week, Villanueva.
Mm-hmm. It's actually Villanova. He corrected me. That's the only reason I'm saying that. So, yeah, he said it's like the school, so.
Your impressions of him and why you decided to sign him and how you think he fits as a defensive end?
Yeah, really unique in terms of obviously his whole story, but just from a football standpoint, he was a offensive lineman at Army, and then I think in his senior year, Coach Ellerson moved him out to receiver, and he had 35 catches. You know, he is 6'9", he's 277 pounds. He had a background, I think he started as a defensive end and then moved to offensive line, and then they moved him out to receiver. When we brought him in to work him out, we were starting to look at him as an offensive lineman. We thought he was a big, tall tackle type, but then when you kind of see him running around, we thought maybe the best position for him would be defensive end in our system. So that's kind of where we kind of plugged him in. But he was just very athletic. He's got a great vertical jump. He can actually move and bend and a lot of different things. And then, you know, when you talk the character component with him, you know, being a captain in the Army Rangers and serving three tours of Afghanistan, you know, I think just being around him, it was you just can't tell you how impressed you are with him as a person. So he was a guy that if you're going to take a shot at somebody, then, you know, you'd like to have him on your side. So.
You didn't draft the quarterback. I don't think we've really talked to you since you added Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Barkley stand in terms of his progress? What do you envision for him?
Is it a real healthy competition between Mark and Matt. I think Matt's healthier. He had a real good offseason in terms of training. We've had the opportunity to be on the field with these guys, I think, for 2 weeks now. You know, it's still – there's no defense. You're on air, you know, but you can still do some drill work. It's a good time for the quarterbacks and the receivers to kind of run and throw together. And I think Matt's throwing better, you know, here in year two. Mark's coming off a shoulder. He's throwing now. We got to limit him a little bit just because he's still coming back, you know, because he had off-season shoulder surgery. So it'll be a real healthy competition between those two.
Chip, what will this week look like? I know you have the rookie camp starting Friday, but you mentioned the players are allowed to report Monday, and then what takes place Monday to Thursday?
We'll bring the everybody we can. Now, there's a couple guys from the graduation, school hasn't finished requirements. I think Ed Reynolds will be one that can't get here until the rookie minicamp. But the other guys were all flying in tomorrow, and then they're going to be here with us in the off-season program in the morning, you know, and just kind of showing them how that works. They won't be full speed in that. You know, we'll kind of revving them up and bringing them up to speed. That'll lead us into the weekend when we get our time to just spend time with those guys individually, and then they jump right into the off-season program fully the following week. So
Monday
through Thursday, they'll be a part of that. But the rookies will, yeah, playbooks, everything, meetings. You know, we're moving and rolling, weightlifting, all that stuff. And it'll be the phase two part of our program. I think we get this week, next week, we'll get two more weeks of that. And then when we come back after Memorial Day on May 27th, it'll be our first OTA, so we can actually start going against a defense. So we'll have they'll have two good solid weeks under them before they ever face, you know, where they have to actually be in a situation where they're going to make calls or get a play call and actually execute it. So everything before then is on air. So
reconfigured wide receiver group, we can count Macklin since you had last year. What, mm-hmm. what do you think it brings or expect it to bring this year as opposed to what you had last year?
I'm excited about him. You know, I think you got two legitimate wide receivers in Mack and Coop outside, and then you throw the young guys in there to go along and kind of see where they are. A guy that we didn't, you know, another guy I think we really need to talk about is Brad Smith, who we got Brad so late you know, how does he actually fit into terms of what we're doing. Had a really, really, really good off-season training and has really showed up here in the first couple of weeks in terms of where he is. Jeff Mail's a guy we got late, you know, in a late trade with Houston before we got here. So he missed the spring with us. He missed most of camp with us. And so you get a chance to see him. You also get to see Aurelius Ben, who's back, who we didn't get a real good chance to see that we thought was coming along, but then he got injured too. So, you know, the new faces with Macklin and Ben and then those and Mail and Smitty with a, you know, really all starting at the same time, and then you had the young guys in there. We're kind of excited about what direction we're headed in there.
You may not have the fastest guy, one of the fastest guys in the league anymore like you did, but you still feel like what you got, you can challenge defenses.
Well, we got guys, I mean, Mac can run now. I mean, Mac's a first-round draft choice, and, you know, it was kind of really, really just tough, not only on him, but on us, that we lost him last year. I mean, how dynamic could we have been if we had an opportunity to keep him in the mix? But I think, you know, one of the byproducts of Mac not being here was obviously Riley got his opportunity to show us what he could do, and he really, you know, had a breakout year last year, so we were kind of excited about it. So I think, you know, with Mac and Riley outside and then throw some of the young guys in there with Smitty and Mail, then I think it's it'll be interesting in terms of how this whole thing shapes itself up. But I'm excited to see our wideout to play.
You didn't take an O-lineman. You just talk about the depth you have there, the guys like Tobin and Barbary, I guess, is back in Dallas.
Yeah, a couple young guys that we really that came along. You know, Matt Tobin really came along last year, was an undrafted free agent that really showed up for us. And really excited about his future. You know, Alan Barbary is a guy, when you watch the games when he went in, when Jason Peters went down in the Green Bay game, really did an outstanding job at left tackle, which is probably the most difficult position to play. We really like Julian Vandervelde at center. He's done a really, really good job for us. We've added David Molk, who's played in this league at center, and he's doing a good job also in competing there. Dennis Kelly's healthy now, you know, and he's competing out there. It's year two with Mike Bomero, who's, you know, we signed last year, who was, you know, kind of a, I don't like the word project, but, you know, a young guy that's a big, I mean, big son of a gun, that all of a sudden now he's got a year under the system, and he's really made a lot of progress himself. So, you know, we feel good about it. You know, we're going to bring in probably 3 to 4 free agents here, you know, to compete with those guys. But it was just one of those deals. There were some guys we liked, and, you know, there was a run on them, and all of a sudden we like this guy, and then he's gone. I think, you know, today a lot of the guys we like jumped off the board. So,
as far as that goes, the free agents, that can get, how he was talking about that last year, could get into a kind of a bidding war sometimes. I know that there's a limit now that you can spend, but what's that process, do you think?
Everybody has the same pool, so it doesn't matter. It's just how you determine how you want to spend it. I think it's $80,000 and change, and then however many guys you want to spend, you can spread it out and you can be a socialist and give the same amount to everybody, or you can say one guy's get 20 and another guy gets 5. I think that's the, you know, kind of how it becomes, you know. So there's never going to be anybody where we're going to take it and say, hey, one guy's going to get 50 of it and then we're going to take the rest of it, because we do have some other positions. We're just looking at getting from where we are right now with the guys we drafted to get to 90. And so how many more do we need at this position? How many more do we need at this position? And where we'll go. And you just try to make it as even as you can, but you may have to go a little bit more for one guy than for another, just because another team has done that. But there's some times, and I was in there last year, and we'll go up and start that process right now after the seventh round is over, where, hey, he got X from another team, we'll let him go, because we're not gonna give that much, you know. So.
Two more questions, guys.
Is Rick Marshall the one in the priority free agent market?
Yeah, we think we're gonna bring another one in I think we've got a couple targeted. It depends on who gets drafted and who gets signed, but if we could bring another one in, we would. I think there's one or two guys that FIP likes. If those guys aren't there, we're not bringing someone in right now, because we're not just going to take a body for the heck of it. So,
was this draft different for you than last year, your first draft? And if so, how?
I mean, I understand it, just because I've been through it. So, you know, last year through the entire season was a whole lot of firsts. You know, first Thursday night, first Friday night. This is how Saturday works. So you got a pretty good understanding of just the process and how it's going to go. So it's just a little bit different, just because of the experience of last year. So,
okay. All right, that is head coach Chip Kelly. His final press briefing.